what a fearful thing it would be if when the Lord comes, we're on the wrong side. Years ago, there was a commercial on television. Some of you may remember it. It opened with a man in a gas station. And he was ringing up his cash register, and it said $355. And a man was driving out in his car. You could see it passing, kind of with a forlorn look on his face, waving. And the gas station attendant said, "That's Mr. Jones. He never come and let me put a Fram oil filter in his car. I just put a new engine in his car. It cost him $355. At that minute, another guy drives by, toots his horn with a big smile and waves. "That's Mr. Smith. Comes in every 3,000 miles for a new Fram oil filter. It only cost him $28. And then he looks straight in the camera and says, "You can pay me now, or you can pay me later."
Amen.
Hey, friends, we're going to have to face our sins sooner or later.
Amen.
We're going to have to face our character sooner or later. We can face it when we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, or we can face it when we only have a judge. The Lord leaves the choice to us.
Amen.
We have the choice. You know, there's an old saying, God, the devil has a nightmare, God has a dream, you have a choice.
Amen.
That's salvation in a nutshell.
Right.
Satan has a nightmare, God has a dream, you have a choice.
Amen.
Simple. But, oh, it's hard to make that choice.
Amen.
Because who's always there to get you to make the wrong choice?
Amen.
Remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it.
Amen.
But you know, that excuse won't hold up in the judgment.
Amen.
Because the Lord's going to say, yeah, you let Him make you do it. But who's more powerful today? Let's come to grips with the whole thing. Who is more powerful, God or the devil?
God.
Then there's no excuse for sin.
No.
Amen.
Now, as we mature, we will fall. As we grow in grace, we may make mistakes. But ultimately, we must admit, God is more powerful.
Amen.
Hey, listen. Easiest day to be, what would be the easiest day to be alive on the face of the earth? In the history of mankind, what was the easiest day to be alive? Resurrection morning.
Amen.
You know why? Because when Jesus died, the devil said to all his imps, "Okay, we got him in our prison house." That's what the Bible calls the grave, the prison house. "We got him in our prison house. He's ours. If we can just keep him in there, we win."
Amen.
Was he right? If they had kept Jesus in the tomb, who won? God or Jesus? God or Satan?
Amen.
Satan. So, the morning of the resurrection, because Satan knows prophecy.
That's right.
Satan knows prophecy. He knew that Jesus said that he was going to rise on the third day. The sanctuary taught that. Prophecy taught that.
Amen.
Satan knew that. He told all his angels, "You have, everybody must be outside the tomb on Sunday morning because we're going to keep Jesus inside." Nobody was tempted that day. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? I'm just speculating now. I mean, you know, this might not, but anyway, imagine Satan himself and all his most powerful angels, maybe all his angels, are standing outside the tomb on Sunday morning. Does God have a problem? No way.
Amen.
God said, "Gabriel, go down and wake up Jesus." Did Gabriel say, "But look at all those evil angels down there"? No, Gabriel said, "Yes, sir." Gabriel went down, and when his feet hit the ground, what happened? There was an earthquake. And Gabriel, single-handedly, went up against Satan and all his imps. And he said, "Son of God, thy Father calleth thee."
Amen.
And Satan and all his angels couldn't keep Jesus in the tomb.
Amen.
Now that's the God I serve.
Amen.
I don't care how many of Satan's angels he whips on me, God can whoop every one of them.
Amen.
God can whoop every one of them. But our problem is we want to show God how we can whoop him ourselves. Friends, the time has come for us to realize that we need to let God work out our salvation. That we need to cooperate with him in the process as he works it out. That's what it says in the book of Philippians. It is God who worketh in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. There is not a time on earth when I can do my good pleasure unless I pass it through God first. That's the secret of salvation. There was a little misprint in the bulletin this morning. The bulletin says the name of the sermon is We're Talking and Walking. That's not the name of the sermon. The name of the sermon is We're Talking Walking. We're talking walking. Because I want you to open your Bibles for a minute. I want you to open to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 52. There is only one part of the human anatomy that God calls beautiful in the Bible. Did you know that? Only one part of the human anatomy that God calls beautiful in the Bible. And it's found in Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet. That's the only part of your body God ever calls beautiful in the Bible.
Amen.
How we worry about our faces and our hair and every this and every that. God says we should worry about our feet. Don't worry about your face. Don't worry about your body. God says worry about your feet. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that brings what? Good tidings. That publishes what? Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. That bringeth good tidings of good. That publisheth what? Salvation. Friends, that's the only reason why we are here as a church. To publish salvation. That's the only reason we're here. We're not here to make money. That's just something we have to do because we're here. No one's going to have a job in heaven. Won't that be wonderful? No more snowblowers in heaven, brother. Won't be any jobs in heaven. That saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. We need to remember God's on the throne. God's in control. There's one word that's not in God's vocabulary. You know what it is? Oops. God never says oops. Nothing catches God by surprise. Friends, there is nothing the devil can throw at you that God didn't see 5 billion years ago. God has it planned. God has a way of escape, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God has made a way of escape, but we have to choose to want it. That's why God says, beautiful are the feet. Why? Look at what our feet are supposed to do. Verse 11, depart ye, depart ye. How do you depart a place? With your feet. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord.
Amen.
You see, God wants us to begin to realize that how we use our feet determines our destiny.
Amen.
That's why the name of our message today is We're Talking Walking. It's time that we start walking away from certain things and walking towards certain things. And we're going to see what the Bible says today because the Bible is full of practical counsel on walking. And if you want to walk out, that's between you and God. But we're going to take our message time today. All right? Remember, I stood up in a church once. The pastor said, Dane, you can preach as long as you want, but the saints leave at noon. By the time I stood up, it was 10 minutes to 12. And I stood up and said, Saints, I understand the saints leave at noon. If you want to leave, leave. Just leave quiet because we're going to go until the message is done. So we're going to go for a little while today. I won't keep you too long. But you know, Sabbath ain't over till sundown. Let's look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Notice, it was our message this morning, our scripture reading this morning. It says, Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, it tells us, blessed, who wants to be blessed? Blessed is the man that what? Walketh not. Now notice what the word says here. That walketh not in the counsel. It doesn't even say in the way of the ungodly. It says in the counsel. If you are walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you're in danger. Now notice the progression here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you see what's happening here? He was walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And you think, well, as long as I'm moving, I'm not in any danger. But before you know it, the more you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you begin to stand in the way of sinners. You're still on your feet, but now you've stopped moving. And then once you get used to standing there, before long, Satan has you sitting in a seat of the scornful. Have you ever been with a scornful person? Man, it makes you want to throw up after a while. Nothing's right. They woke up one morning, it's too hot. Next morning, it's too cold. You know, nothing is ever right for a scorner. And yet as we progress in this verse, we see that we were walking just in the counsel of the ungodly first. And before we know it, we have been transformed into being used to and wanting to sit with scorners. You see what sin does? Sin slowly changes our focus. And what we thought we would never do, we begin to do.
Amen.
Notice, it says, but his delight is in the what?
Law.
The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. When's the last time you couldn't sleep? I got a sure way to let any of you have insomnia. One of the best ways to go to sleep. If you think it's Satan who's keeping you awake. You know, Satan will try to keep you awake.
Amen.
So if you think it's Satan trying to keep you awake, you just start praising God verbally. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad Satan's keeping me up. I can give you praise. Before you know it, you start going to sleep. Satan says, put him to sleep! Put him to sleep! Or just meditate out loud. Lord, I thank you in your word that you said your law is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And start quoting all the text you can. Satan goes, oh, put this guy out! And you'll go to sleep. Hey, start fighting Satan on his own ground. His delight is in the law of the Lord. What's the result? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's an unqualified promise. Whatsoever is a big word. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But what's the condition? Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There are ungodly fashion designers trying to give us counsel on how to dress. God said, don't walk there. There are ungodly advertisers trying to give us what type of car to buy. God says, don't walk there. You ask me what car to buy. You know, anytime we buy a car, we always ask God, is this the car you want for us? And the Lord says, yeah, that's the car I want for you. We bought a car years ago. It was a Buick. It was a Buick diesel. It was one of the big LeSabres. And we bought the car. We knew God wanted us to buy that car, and we bought that car. Well, I talked to a diesel mechanic. He said, oh, you made a big mistake. He said, those aren't true diesel engines. Those are gasoline engines converted to diesel engines. Those things have a lot of problems. You're going to have nothing but trouble with that car. I said, no, I won't, because God told me to buy it. You know what? We didn't have a lick of trouble with that car. As a matter of fact, when we wore it out, we gave it to, well, we didn't wear it out, but when God got us another car, we gave it to a lady who was a single mother, didn't have any money, a poor woman. We gave it to her to drive. She drove it for another 100,000 miles without a problem. Friends, when God says buy a car, you buy the car. Don't let Madison Avenue tell you what to buy. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. God is your ruler. God is your decision maker. There's a lot of people trying to tell us what to eat. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a lot of people trying to tell us how to raise our children. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. God never says, oops. Nothing takes God by surprise. Now, I want you to turn back to Deuteronomy. We went over Deuteronomy last night. I want to read you another passage in Deuteronomy. Notice what it says here in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to read verses 9 through 14. 9 through 14. It says, I'll wait till y'all get there. Are we all there? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 9 through 14. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous for good. That's the real word. Not in goods, but for good. In the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord thy God sware to thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to rain, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee to observe and do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. What a list!
Amen.
What a list! Beautiful promises, but there's two ifs. God says in verse 9, if you keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and what's the next word? Walk in his ways. Friends, why we need to get more concerned about walking in God's ways. Because there are wonderful promises, wonderful blessings, wonderful privileges for those who walk in God's ways. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel of peace. You can tell a lot about a man by the way he walks. If you see a man walking like this, what do you know about him? Something's wrong with that guy. He just lost his best friend.
Amen.
And then you see the young people today walking with the pants way down to here. And they look like a baby with a loaded diaper. They got those tennis shoes that are wide open, that are, you know, and they got the big chains hanging down. They start walking. What do you know about them? Or they're walking with their hats on backward. That's rebellion. You can tell a lot about a man by the way he walks.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 3 talks about the daughters of Zion.
Amen.
Walking with mincing step, loaded with jewelry, loaded with fancy clothes, loaded with makeup, and they're walking along, sashaying. You can tell a lot about a woman by the way she walks. You can tell a prostitute by the way she walks.
Amen.
You can tell a lot about a man by the way he walks. I can tell when my children were rebellious by the way they were walking.
Amen.
You can tell when a man loves God by the way he's walking.
Amen.
God says he made us to walk upright.
Amen.
Do we have anything to hang our heads in shame about as Christians?
No.
Can we walk upright when we're walking in the Lord? Should the world know we're Christians just by the way we walk?
Amen.
Yes. You know, we have choices to make. I want you to write these verses down as I read them. I'm not going to read them all. We don't have time to read all the verses I have in my sermon today. We can either walk according to Isaiah 2 verse 5. It says, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Or, don't turn to these, just write them down. Isaiah 2 verse 5 says, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Or we can walk in Isaiah 50 verse 11. Which says, God says, go ahead, walk in the sparks of your own kindling. You see, we have a choice to make. We either walk in God's light or we walk in our own light.
Amen.
It's the only two choices we have. We can either walk in the counsel of Proverbs 4:18. It says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more brightly and more brightly unto the perfect day. Or we can walk in Isaiah 59. I want you to turn there. This is one we are going to read. Isaiah 59. Notice what it says in verse 8. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings, for they have made themselves crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. We wait for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Friends, that's a perfect picture of someone who's walking in the sparks of their own kindling.
Amen.
God doesn't want us there. God says that we can walk in the path of the just that shines more and more brightly under the perfect day.
Amen.
And yet, why do we choose to walk in the dark? We have a choice. Micah 6:8 says, He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? What does it mean to walk humbly? What does it mean to walk humbly with thy God? How many of us think that we know more than God does? God comes and points out to him and says, oh, Lord, I've done that all my life. Lord says, I know, that's why I'm trying to get rid of it. Look where you are. What it means to walk humbly with God is that let me put salvation in a nutshell. Argue with God until He wins.
Amen.
Simple. If you want to be saved, argue with God until He wins the argument.
Amen.
Because God's never wrong. What does it mean to walk humble? Does it mean you never have an argument with God if you're humble? No, because God says in Isaiah 1:16, come let us reason together. God doesn't mind an argument as long as the Spirit is right.
Amen.
If you are sincerely searching for truth, God says, come on, bring it on.
Amen.
Just let me win.
Amen.
So, he says to walk humbly with God. We can either choose that or we can read Jude chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Look what it says. Here's our other choice. Jude, verses 18 and 19. Notice what it says. He says, you are told how there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. See, there's our choices. We can walk humbly with God and allow Him to call the shots, or we can walk in our own ungodly lusts, separating ourselves from the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, notice what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 5, here is the crux of the whole matter. If we understand this one point today, we will be safer than we walked in here this morning. Notice Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Because every one of us in this room today, God has equipped us to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
But the choice is ours.
That's right.
But God promises, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
I'm tired of fulfilling the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
I am tired. Well, I'm not going to get into that. I am tired of walking in the lust of the flesh. Notice what it says in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you want to do. That's what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 7, when he said the things I want to do, I can't do. Because when we're in an unconverted state, the spirit is trying to draw us to God, the world's trying to draw us to the devil, and they're clashing against each other all the time. And let me tell you something, friends. Even when you give your heart to God, that old man keeps trying to come up.
Amen.
That old man is always there to try to get you to walk the other way.
Amen.
And the whole purpose of salvation is God teaching us how to keep our steps in line with the cross.
Amen.
Now, I want you to look at verses 24 to 25 of the same chapter. Notice what it says. Right after he outlined, what is the fruit of the Spirit? If you are walking in the Spirit, what things will show up in your life? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. God's saying, hey, don't tell me you're living in the Spirit if your life doesn't show you're living in the Spirit. We come to church sometime and we praise God for all that He's done for us. And we go out and live like the devil for the rest of the week. Friends, it doesn't work. Don't live like the devil's Monday through Wednesday, Friday and try to come live like Jesus on Sabbath. It don't work. Because where your feet are used to going, they'll go. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now notice what he says. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Amen.
You see, when we come to Jesus and begin to walk in His steps, what other people are doing doesn't bother us anymore. It doesn't mean there's not a struggle not for it to bother us anymore.
Amen.
We need to go to the Lord sometimes and say, Lord, what they just said to me makes me want to punch them right in the face. But I know that's not walking in the Spirit. Lord, help me. Give me victory. Help me to show Your grace to this person.
Amen.
You see, there's a struggle going on all the time. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And God is calling us to one way and Satan's calling us to the other. And we have a choice. That's the key to walking in the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're told in inspired writings that there was no other part of the Bible but Romans 6, 7, and 8. We would be without excuse in the day of God if we were lost.
Amen.
Romans 6, 7, and 8. Beautiful passages inspired by God. We're going to read verses 3 through 7, 11 through 14, and verse 19. Notice what Paul says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Friends, we are not baptized into a church.
Amen.
We are baptized into the death of Jesus.
Amen.
We have been baptized into His death. Therefore, because we have been baptized, we, our old man, is buried with Him by baptism into death. Now listen, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Once we have been baptized, what happens to our walk? It changes. We walk in newness. If you were a pigeon-toed person, when you're baptized spiritually, your feet straighten out.
Amen.
The pathways you used to choose change.
Amen.
What you once loved, you now hate. Why? Because you've drummed it up in yourself? No, because God has planted in you the desire to let your feet walk for His glory. And it's a struggle day to day because that old man tries to come back to life. That old man tries to resurrect. But we realize that that old man is now dead. And we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, keep Dan Griffin in the grave.
Amen.
Remember when Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb?
Amen.
And he wanted to raise Lazarus? What did Martha say? Lord, he's been in there 4 days. He stinks. Most of us have been dead just long enough to stink.
Amen.
We need to stay in the grave.
Amen.
We need to stay hidden with Christ and God. It's a constant struggle. Notice verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, what's the likeness of His death? Baptism. Baptism. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, what is the likeness of His resurrection? It says that the Spirit quickeneth, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus, the Spirit that lived in Jesus, even when He was a man, raised Him back to life. And Jesus gives us His Spirit in the likeness of His resurrection so that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The walk changes. The talk changes. Everything changes. And people say, what's gotten into you? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man, is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be temporarily paralyzed. I must have a bad version here. That the body of sin might be destroyed.
Amen.
That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Amen.
I suppose Brother Corey had called me this morning and said, Dane, we can't have church this morning. The building was destroyed last night. Fine, I'll be there at 9. No, Dane, you didn't get my point. The building was destroyed last night by fire. That's fine, I'll be there at 9. Am I hearing what he's saying? If the building's been destroyed, where is it? It's gone! Friends, you know what our problem is today? We don't really believe that the old man was destroyed at baptism.
Amen.
We keep making it, many of us, we make excuses. Oh, Lord, I can't help that. I've always been like that. Lord, this has been a big problem for me. Lord says, yeah, I know. But I gave you power to overcome it. Walk in newness of life. Notice, for he that is dead, verse 7, is what? Freed from sin. That means free from the control of sin. It means that you are no longer the slave of sin. No one enjoys being a slave. But how easily we settle for Satan's lies that we can't overcome a character defect or that we can't overcome those little Twinkies. Think about their names, friends. Bonkers, ho-hos, ding-dongs. Let's move on to verses 8 through 10. Now, if we be dead with Christ, I'm sorry, not verses 8 through 10. We're going to read now verses 11 through 14. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Yield ye your what? Your members. What are your members? Your tongue. Your eyes, your fingers, your feet, your nose, your brain. Those are all members of your body.
Amen.
Paul's saying, don't yield those members anymore. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. Now look at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, how does the devil many times get us to sin? Through our eyes. Through our ears. Through our mouth. Through our hands. Through our feet. Paul says, look, take the battle to the gate. If you know that Satan has had access to you in a certain area of your life, you go to God and you say, God, Satan has beat me there all my life, but I am now walking in newness of life. I give that member to you. You are now in control. You call the shots. Give me victory in that area.
Amen.
God says, oh, do I love that type of prayer. Take the battle to the gate. Meet Satan on his own ground, toe to toe.
Amen.
If we're not meeting Satan face to face, because we're both walking in the same direction.
Amen. Right?
Amen. Stand toe to toe with the devil. You can with Jesus in front of you.
Amen.
He says, "Yield your members. You've yielded your members to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness." Onto holiness. You see, there's a change in the walk. There's a change in the walk. A drastic, dramatic change in the walk. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This is a very incredible passage. It shows the change that takes over in the life when we come to Jesus. Notice, it says in verse 5, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. How do we mortify our members? Through the Holy Spirit. Through prayer, through fighting the battle, through the Lord's strength. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Did you ever hear that before? That covetousness is idolatry?
Amen.
For which thing's sake, now notice, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these. Remember now, they've changed their walk. They used to walk that way. Now Paul's saying, look, you're walking different. Here's what you got to put on. Put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now look, put on therefore. You see, it's not enough just to put off something. We've got to put on something to take its place.
Amen.
Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Is it easy to be impatient with each other?
Amen.
Jesus says, put on bowels of mercy. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Oh, how hard it is for us to be patient with each other. How many times do I have to tell you? The Lord says, get your hands off your hip. I've had to tell you a million times. When you start feeling tempted to get upset with somebody, remember how many times God hadn't gotten upset with you. Friends, can we do these things on our own? Look at this list. Look what he says. Put on. As the elect of God, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
Amen.
And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness.
Amen.
What a list. Can we do it? Yes. God says, when you begin to walk in my way, when you begin to walk in my direction, when the path of your feet begins to change, I begin to change the way your brain thinks. I begin to change the way your brain operates. I begin to change the way you relate to people. I change everything. I make you all new again. And God doesn't care if we're the poorest person on earth or the richest person on earth. We all need to change. Because when God comes back, He's not going to say, Dane, show me your passbook. Oh, $2 million. Well done now, good and faithful servant. God doesn't need money to build your mansion. It's already there. God looks at the passbook of character. Character. How did you relate to the people that related to you bad, Dane? How did you relate to your wife when she did something that you didn't like? How did you relate to your children when they did something you didn't like? How did you relate to the brother in the pew when he looked at you wrong? I've heard people say, I'm not going back to that church anymore. She looked at me funny. Looked at me funny? Is that, hey friends, did I join this church because of people? I'm not going to leave it because of people either. This is God's church. This is God's church. Now, we become different people in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start looking at some real interesting passages about what God says should happen in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 6. And you hath he quickened, Ephesians 2, verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You see, here's our choices outlined. We either walk in according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, or we walk in Jesus. It's the only choice we have.
Amen.
Verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Friends, when we're born, we are born to want to walk away from God. That's the way we're born.
Amen.
But God comes and says, hey, Dane, I can change that.
Amen.
I can change that. Notice, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, don't you love that? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places with Christ. Friends, that's the change that takes place when Jesus redirects your path.
Amen.
The things you used to do by God's grace, you don't want to do anymore. Does that mean you won't fight against Him anymore? Friends, Satan is there to tempt you every day.
Amen.
But praise God that we have a Savior who's walked in our shoes. He's walked in our shoes, and He knows what it is to overcome. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Isn't it fun to go through the Word? I love going through the Word. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Notice what it says. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. What's God saying? Expect temptations. Expect trials. Expect change as part of the Christian way. I want to tell you something, friends. Which of you in this room were born knowing how to fly? Nobody? Nobody here knows how to fly. I know how to fly. I can fly. I got to get an airplane to do it, but I can fly. But as I was learning how to be a pilot, I had a lot of things to learn. I had a lot of things to learn, especially when I was learning how to fly a twin airplane. Everything happens so fast. It just moves in such a fast succession. Because when you land a twin-engine aircraft, the one I flew was a Cessna 310, and the heaviest of the light twins, when you cross the numbers on the runway, you're doing 112 miles an hour. When you're in the traffic pattern, you're doing 124 miles an hour. If you fly much lower than that, the plane goes, shoo. You got to keep enough wind going over the wings. And I remember there came a point when I had been trying to learn how to fly for about 9 hours. And I couldn't get it. Because if you make a mistake when you first take off, when you're doing the pattern, you take off, you turn on your up, on your, I can't remember what they call it anymore. Anyway, you turn this way, and then you turn your downwind, you turn your crosswind leg, and then you turn your downwind leg, and then you turn your base leg, and then you turn your final leg. And if you make a mistake on takeoff, you pay for it down here. So I had to learn way back here to think over there. And that's why I had an instructor sitting next to me. Now, Dan, remember, you got to do this, and remember this. And finally, my instructor said, look, Dan, just remember gumps. Said gumps, gas, undercarriage, manifold, props. Just remember gumps. And then safety was the S. I said, oh, gumps. Yeah, this is the things you got to check all the way around to make sure that your gas is, to make sure your pumps are on, to make sure your throttle's up, to make sure your this is up, to make sure your undercarriage, your wheels are down. And if you don't check it down here, you pay for it over here. That's when my instructor was there. That's why we have an instructor called Jesus Christ. As he teaches us to walk in newness of life. Because if we make a mistake over here, we're going to pay for it down there. So Jesus is there to instruct us and to teach us. Say, wait a minute, did you see what you just did there? Did you really need to raise your eyebrow to your wife like that? But Lord, did you? I remember one day, my wife corrected me on something. And she did it in a very nice way. Well, it was pretty nice. And I got upset with her. And I walked out and I slammed the door behind me and I went outside. And I was not going to talk to her. And the Lord said, well, aren't you a fine Christian? Walking out and slamming the door like a little spoiled baby. So the Lord, did you hear the way she talked to me? The Lord said, Dane, I don't care what she did. I'm talking to you. So the Lord, if she hadn't noticed, said, no, Dane, you leave the name Vicky out of your vocabulary. I'm talking to you. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, I want you to go back in and apologize. Oh, you got to be kidding. But she was the one that was wrong. If she hadn't, the Lord said, Dane, leave your wife out of this. You were not a Christian. You're the man I'm talking to. I want you to go back in and apologize. Oh, come on, Lord, you got to be kidding. The Lord said, no, you go back in and apologize to your wife. Now, was the Lord trying to teach me to walk in newness of life?
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, brethren and sisters, I struggled with the Lord for about 30 minutes over that one. You know what the basic bedrock issue was? Male ego.
Amen.
Male ego. Lord, she hurt my feelings. Lord said, I don't care what she did. You didn't do right.
Amen.
Dead men don't care.
Right.
And the Lord said, you go back in and apologize to your wife. And Dane, don't you make it a phony apology. Don't say, I'm sorry, but if you hadn't treated me so bad, I wouldn't have done it anyway. That's not an apology. Lord said, you go back in and you just tell her how sorry you were, but you made such a stupid mistake, and you ask her to forgive you.
Amen.
And I said, man, I'll never hear the end of this one. You see how Satan's always there to try to get us to go against God's will.
Amen.
And I walked back inside, and boy, I was praying all the way in. And I went up to my wife and I said, sweetheart, and Satan was saying, tell her off. Tell her it was her fault. I said, no. I had to say, Lord, you told, and you know, this is the battle we go through, isn't it?
Amen.
We've got to let the Lord fight the battle through us.
Amen.
And I went to my wife and I said, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. There is no excuse for how I handled that situation. You were right in what you said. Oh, that was hard. And you know, my wife looked at me, and you know what she said, brother? She said, I accept your apology, but I was wrong in the way I brought it up. I said, wow, if we just let the Lord solve the problems, He solves the problems.
Amen.
But if I had come in making excuses, what would have happened? You just got mad at me.
Amen.
You see, friends, we need to fight the battle at the gate. We need to walk in newness of life. We need to let Jesus change our rotten characters into His beautiful character. That's walking the walk of faith. That's walking in the way that Jesus wants us to walk. That's doing what God has asked us to do. 1 Peter chapter 4. Likewise, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Was I suffering in the flesh that day?
Amen.
Oh, I was suffering. But did I cease from that sin that day? Yes. Doesn't mean I never treated my wife wrong again, but on that particular issue, I died that day.
Amen.
I changed my course that day. And I admitted that there is no excuse to treat someone else in a bad way.
Amen.
No excuse. Now let's move on. Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to wrought the will of to the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess, speaking evil of you. Friends, when you begin to change, your friends won't want you around anymore.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But God sends you back to those friends as a missionary.
Amen.
To show them a better way. To show them what God can do. So what's the purpose of this new walk? What does God want us to accomplish? Notice Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Romans 8 verses 1 through 4. This is the purpose of the new walk. This is what God wants to accomplish in every one of us in this room today. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Friends, I don't know about you, but I want no condemnation today. I only got one amen.
Amen.
I want no condemnation today. I want to be clear, because if my name comes up in judgment today,
amen,
I better be clear.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk, listen now, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
Are you getting the import of this?
Amen.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak to the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's the purpose of the new walk. To live the life of Jesus. Simple as it is. Jesus wants me to reflect His character. And when I read through the Gospels, I don't see one instance where Jesus mistreated anyone. I don't see one instance where Jesus lost His temper. I don't see one. Now, friends, don't get me wrong here. This doesn't happen immediately. It happens as Jesus works with us and prunes us and shapes us and molds us and challenges us day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. We grow into His likeness. Psalm 119, verse 45 says that they that seek His commandments walk at liberty. There's liberty in the law. If you don't believe me, just go out on Interstate 96 and do 128 miles an hour in front of a cop and see how much liberty you have. There is liberty in obedience. Psalms 26, verse 3. David says, I am free because I walked in thy truth. John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. David said in Psalm 119, verse 151, all thy commandments are truth. You see, the guide for our lives is no longer what this fashion designer says or what this child-rearing expert says. Our law of life is now, what does Jesus say?
Amen.
That's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
That's why John 16, verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth come, He shall guide you into how much truth? All truth. All truth. And James 1:25 says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he has peace."
Amen.
It's a perfect law of liberty. Now, we need to wrap this up, even though I'm only a third of the way through my message. So I've got to do a lot of honing and whittling here. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. I'm convinced that when we stand up to preach, Brother Jackson, Satan makes the clock go faster.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, "As ye therefore receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Now I want you to think back. How did you receive Jesus? How did you receive Jesus? By faith. By faith in His promise to save you utterly, totally, and completely. Friends, that's the same way we must walk in Jesus every day.
Amen.
Every day. It's a simple, childlike faith that Jesus can do what He promised. Has Jesus ever lost a case?
No.
Did Jesus stand outside Lazarus' tomb and say, "God, I sure hope You can raise this one"? Jesus said, "I thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast heard Me."
Amen.
There was perfect confidence in Jesus' life. Why? Because Jesus was daily walking in the path of God.
Amen.
You know why God calls it a crooked path? Why does God call the way to heaven a crooked path? Because you've got to walk straight on a crooked path or you're going to fall off the side. When you're on a broad path, you can zigzag, you can go back and forth. But Jesus said, when you're on the crooked path, you've got to walk in a straight line. And it's a self-denying way. But oh, the joy that Jesus brings. Do you know what a thrill it is to have victory over past sins? Do you know what a thrill it is to be able to garner your temper and rein it in? That somewhere where you always had problems in the past, now God has given you victory? That's power. That's excitement. That's good. To have victories in God, to change your life, to change your ways. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. Let's go there. We're going to wrap this up in just a few minutes. My family teases me that I have 15 closing texts for every sermon. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4. Notice what it means to walk after the Lord. It says in Deuteronomy 13, verse 4, "You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and serve Him, and cleave unto Him."
Amen.
There's a definition of walking with the Lord. Right. Listening to His voice. Letting God call the shots in all that we do.
Amen.
You know, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 3, says that we're to walk to please God and to abound more and more as we walk with Him. You see, what that's telling me is that as we walk with God, we mature in our walk. We get better in our walk. Why? Because we get used to hearing that voice. We get used to hearing that voice telling us, "This is the way. Walk ye in." But Lord, what's wrong with it? Lord says, "No, that's the way. I know that way looks safe." But you know, what we need to remember, friends, is God lives in the future.
That's right.
I don't.
That's right.
And this pathway here may look perfectly fine. Lord, look at all the beautiful trees along that path. Look at all the beautiful things along that path. Lord says, "Yeah, I know, but I want you to go on this path."
Amen.
But Lord, that path looks exactly the same. There's beautiful. Does God have beautiful things for us?
Amen.
Yes. And God says, "Dane, don't go down that path." So if I'm a Christian, if I have given my life to the Lord, if I have been baptized into the likeness of His death, I take the path God says.
Amen.
Because when Jesus was in Gethsemane, Jesus wanted to go on the path away from the cross. He said, "God, let this cup pass from Me, but nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done." And God said, "Jesus, walk to the cross." And Jesus walked to the cross.
Amen.
Jesus walked to the cross. Now, I want you to listen to this. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. It says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. One of the truest signs of walking in Jesus is that we can get along. If a church isn't getting along, they're not walking in the light. Why was there war in heaven? Because Satan stopped walking in the light. The minute you stop walking in the light, you can't get along with God's people anymore because you're going in different directions.
Amen.
There should be perfect harmony in God's church.
Amen.
It doesn't mean there won't be disagreements.
That's right.
It doesn't mean there won't be differences of opinion. Amen. But we should be big enough in God to put aside our own preconceived ideas and accept each other.
Amen.
On a platform of truth. Is anyone in here harboring bitterness towards someone else in this church? Walk in the light.
That's right.
Does anyone here have bitterness towards someone in this church? Walk in the light.
Right.
Is there a wife who's got a grudge against her husband or a husband against a wife? Walk in the light.
Right.
Say, but Dane, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't, but God does. And God is calling you to let that weight go off your shoulders. God is telling you today, Dane, they can never pay you back for what they did, but I can. I'll give you double for what they did to you. I'll pay you back if you just let me be the debt collector. Stop trying to collect debts. Only God can collect debt. Only God can make amends. Only God can pay back. Why waste your life in bitterness? God says, forgive and move on. Get a life.
Amen.
If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship. Do you look forward to coming to church?
Amen.
This should be the happiest day of the week.
Amen.
You're going to go be with family.
Amen.
We're going to go see our brother.
Amen.
God's going to come meet with us. Friends, you got to walk during the week like you're walking with God.
Amen.
Amen. Come back another time and finish this sermon up.
Amen.
Here's the only safe way to walk in the light. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Any man who follows me will not walk in darkness.
Amen.
That's a promise. Luke chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus said, take heed that the light that is in thee be not darkness. Friends, the time has come that we let Jesus control the shots in our lives. How about it? The time has come when we have to put aside our own ideas. Our own ideas, what we think should be done. And how God should be living. You know, we go to God and say, God, if you just tell me to live like this, I'll be fine. God says, that's not the way it works. Because Jesus says that the only ones that will be in heaven are those who are walking in the light.
Amen.
I want you all to bow your heads. And I want you to think right now, I want you to have a silent prayer. And I just want you to say, Jesus, what is in my life where I'm not walking like you? Because I don't want to be like that number in Revelation 16, 15 that you said are walking naked and don't even know it. Lord, I want to be among that number that are, you've talked about in Revelation 3, verse 4, that are not, have not defiled their garments and are walking in white. Like Enoch walked with God, Lord, I want to walk with you. Amen. Just ask God, what is in your life that you need to bring into the pathway of obedience to His power and His grace? If there's anyone here this morning who wants to fulfill the commission of 2 Kings 23, verse 3, where Israel made a covenant to walk with God, I want you to stand to your feet and testify to the world and to the universe today that you are making a covenant this day, a solemn covenant sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection, that you are going to walk with God. Amen. Lord Jesus, the path is narrow, but the rewards are so wonderful. Lord, we often put our focus on heaven as the only reward for the Christian. But Lord, there are many rewards upon this earth. Freedom from bitterness. Freedom from envy. Freedom from slavery to fashion. From slavery to diet. From slavery to sin. Lord, that's a blessing. The path is narrow, but you have treaded before us. And Lord, your life was one of total joy and happiness. What a thrill to see lives changed for God. You experience it every day. Lord, help us to bring our wayward feet back into harmony with your command. To bring, to publish the gospel of peace. Lord, as we look around this community, there are many who need to see a better way. The drug dealers, the prostitutes, the broken families, the children without fathers. Lord, you love every one of them. I pray, Lord, that this church will grow in your grace. Will grow in your power. Amen. Will become more and more like you every day. Amen. I pray, Lord, that this church will be a leaven of godliness and holiness in this community. Amen. That when heaven is finally with us, there will be thousands in the kingdom who were prophesied by Jesus when he said the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom before some other Christians. Lord, may this church be responsible for bringing them in.
Amen.
I pray that you would bless each family here today. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to seek your face in all that we do. That in every decision, we will simply ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is the path you want me to take? That my feet can walk in the pathway of God. Lord, you have seen the covenants made here today. They're solemn covenants. And I pray that you would empower each precious soul to live for you and you alone. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your everlasting love. And Lord, when you come in your clouds of heaven, may each one of us here be found worthy to walk with you in white, because we have walked with you here upon this earth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2004, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministries resources, please contact us as follows. Visit our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, plus thousands of other selections to choose from. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover credit cards. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international orders, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108, in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 29 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry? To prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.